you play that video
twice through, please?
Today, I am unreal. Okay, like most people, I don't really think about how I use the word God or Jesus. I just kind of get mad or excited, and it just kind of pops out. I mean, I don't really think of it in terms of like, oh, that's a curse word. You can't say that. You know, still, okay, I'll admit there's times when I think what I just said was wrong or disrespectful in some way, but I mean, everybody does it, so you think it's no big deal. I don't know, deep down, it kind of feels like it is. Today, I am unreal. Okay, like most people, I don't really think about how I use the word God or Jesus. I just kind of get mad or excited, and it just kind of pops out. I mean, I don't really think of it in terms of like, oh, that's a curse word. You can't say that. You know, still, okay, I'll admit there's times when I think what I just said was wrong or disrespectful in some way, but I mean, everybody does it, so you think it's no big deal. I don't know, deep down, it kind of feels like it is.
I think all of you know by now that we're in a series on the authority of God and the Ten Commandments, and I guess what I'd like to say to you today, I don't think I should scream it out, but it would probably get your attention if I did. What kind of respect does God deserve from us? And I have to say, as I was sitting there, something else came to my mind that's not in my notes, but maybe I'll just get it out and say it. What about when we come to this place and we're distracted by a lot of things? It's usually unintentional, but to remember why we are coming here, why I hope we're coming here. That's not just for here, but wherever you're at, that you give to God the praise that He deserves and the focus that He deserves. I've joked a lot with some of our young people about their phones in the service, and I've tried to do it in a way that's hopefully not sounded mean and condemning and harsh. But I just have to tell you, for me as an old person, that really bothers me. And I, you know, I try to make a joke of it. I try to say things that, you know, to bring it to your attention maybe and say, hey, would you think about, how do you think God feels about that? I mean, if you're on your phone and somebody has an emergency or you're looking up the scripture, you know, I'm not talking about that. You know that. But I'm talking about your heart. Where are you at? Does God deserve better than that? Or not? The practical part of the scriptures is that they speak to who we are in our hearts. What we feel down deep about God. And nobody can do it for you. Nobody can do it for me. When I have a problem with my attitude, nobody can fix it except for me to come before God and say, God, help me with it. Anyway, the third commandment to me is very important. I don't want to say it's the most important because all of them are the most important to me. And last week, for the last time I'm going to say it, we didn't have a service, so boy, am I uptight. I am really wound up today. So just put your watch away. Not really. I just thought I might warn you if I get too carried away. Boy, this commandment's important to who we are as God's people. How are we doing so far? The first two commandments we looked at, what do you think? Of course, I'm being rhetorical. If anybody answers, I don't know what I would do. Are they worth our heart? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not have unto thee any graven images. Or can we say of those that maybe they're not applicable today? Could we say of those, well, should we take our Ten Commandments discount? Yet? Or should we ask the question, do the commandments help us to love God with all that we are? Our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and our neighbor as ourself. I guess that's a question I've settled on when trying to sort out for me, what does the Ten Commandments say to me today? Are they important? What do they say into my life and into my character and into my thought processes? Well, we're going to move on to the third commandment today, and I'm going to ask you to stand just for a moment as we read from Exodus chapter 20. It is only one verse, but I believe it's an important verse to have in your heart and your mind and your spirit and what you believe deeply. And so Exodus chapter 20, verse 7 says this, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." Let me read that again. "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." Thank you. You may be seated. I hope it's not true. I hope it's not true of me, but I did read a couple of weeks ago a quote that said that this might be the most under-preached commandment in the Bible. There is so much to be said about the precious life-giving commandment of the preciousness of the name of God. One of the things that stands out to me is the importance of understanding the holiness of God. How holy is God? There's so many words that we use to describe who God is. Oh man, He is indescribable. He's unique. He's different. He's not like us. He has a personality and individuality to Him, but He's so far above and beyond His power, His knowledge, His presence everywhere. Unique, different, pure, matchless, unqualified. Who is God in your mind? Is He just a person, another person like your neighbor or your really good family member who you look up to? Who is God in your heart and your spirit, and what do you hold on to of Him? Matt Redman uses the term, God is immeasurably beyond. Immeasurably beyond anything else that we can have in our lives. That's why the first and the second commandment, they go right into the third commandment of having nothing before Him to take the place of Him. This third commandment to me kind of wraps up the first two and reminding us of how special God is and how in life's busyness and all that we do, we can kind of forget about how high God should be in our hearts and our spirits, and certainly in our minds and our hearts. Pure, matchless, unequaled. So many words we could use. God's knowledge is inexhaustible. His mercies are unfathomable. He is eternal. He is immortal. He is invisible. He is so far above us that we must be reminded of the holiness of God. A.W. Tozier said this, "Left to ourselves, we tend immediately to reduce God to our manageable terms." We kind of left to ourselves kind of bring God down to where we are, and we kind of see Him as another, as part of our daily stuff. He might be a little higher than other things. We certainly, when we stop and talk about it, we'd say, no, He should be higher. But in daily life, we kind of bring Him down. And the culture around us is bringing God down much further down than even equal with people. Our culture is bringing the name of God and the person of God and the authority of God into the gutter. And trying to attribute to God all kinds of evil. It's part of the culture we live in. The church must stand for the holiness of God, the otherness of God, the highness of God, and be reminded of how precious God is. The book of Isaiah says a lot about the amazing qualities of God. Reminds us of the glory of God. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6 says this, I am the first and the last. Apart from me, there is no God. The third commandment is about the holiness of God. It's also about the highness of God. The highness of God in our thought life, in our priority. The third commandment is also about the purity of our tongues. It's about both. Our words are important to God. My words and your words are important to God. They're important to God when they're in our hearts. They're important to God when they come out of our lips. Our words are important to God. God is listening to our words. Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 12. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. This is Jesus talking and telling us that our words are so important in relation to the highness and the holiness of God, but also in all other areas of life. And I'm going to take a few minutes and talk about some other areas of life too. Your words are listened to by God. I mean, should that surprise us if God is infinite and everywhere, all the time, and holy and just? Would it surprise us that God somehow is able to hear everything that goes on in our tongues and in our hearts? Should that surprise us that God is able and is listening to us? Jesus says, every careless word, be careful about your tongue. Be careful about what you say. Be careful about what you say about other people. Be careful about what you say when you're angry or what you say when you're being careless. God cares about your words. He is listening. What about your words? We know that words don't begin in the mouth, in the tongue. They begin in the heart, of course. So whatever's in your heart is what generally is going to come out. Jesus, again, talking about the tongue. Jesus said quite a few things about the tongue and our words. Something else that he said was, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever the overflow is, whatever you have on the inside is what's going to come out eventually. You may keep it in there for a while, but in general, out of your heart will come your words. And again, God sees your words, overflow. God cares deeply about our words and about our hearts. What's on the inside is what's going to come out. Maybe not all the time. There's a healthy way to deal with whatever we feel on the inside. We have painful feelings and painful emotions. I'm not saying today that when we struggle with things that are negative and even painful and hurtful and nasty that we don't have this rumbling going on in our hearts, because that's part of life. God can help us with our hearts. And we need to call that what it is. And when we struggle on the inside, it may be that one of our problems is it comes out, but it may be that that struggle is going on deep in there. And if we think we don't say the words that we are feeling deeply and struggling with, that God doesn't care. God cares about the pain down inside too. God wants to help us with that part of who we are. Sometimes we think, well, if you don't say things that are terrible and nasty, that means your heart's right with God. That's not true either. The truth is, we all deal with stuff in life. And you got stuff that's painful and hurtful and negative in there, and you got to deal with the heart. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Overflow. What's on the inside is what's going to come out. Maybe not all the time, but God wants to help you with that part of who you are. If you struggle with what you say, God can help you and wants to help you. I've heard it said that the mouth sometimes can be a lot like a volcano. It's kind of dormant, and suddenly it can erupt. And it can be very explosive. And we know that's true. Sometimes things that we say are sudden and they come out and we know they're not pleasing to God. And we know that that came from somewhere that isn't pleasing to God. So praying that God helps us with our mouth is saying, God, help me with what's going on the inside deep in my heart. The book of James chapter 3 says, out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Out of the same mouth as we encourage and we praise God should not come words that are hurtful and painful and are broken. Maybe a good prayer for us to pray as we think about this commandment is, God, sanctify my tongue and sanctify it all the way down to my heart. The third commandment is also about self-control. And God's Spirit controlling who we are. Self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. God's authority in our lives. Think of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's an important fruit of the Spirit, that God is controlling us and our words and our tongues. Two more scriptures about the tongue, then I want to come back to the third commandment especially. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful in building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. No unwholesome talk. There's no place in a Christian's life for unwholesome talk, but only what builds up the body of Christ, builds up each other according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And then the last one, James chapter 1, verse 26. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. The Bible has so much about our tongue and our speech and our words. And I've given you a few scriptures out of many that that we should be reminded of. The third commandment, I believe, number one, reminds us of the holiness of God and who God is and what God calls us to do and to be, the holiness of God. Nate, would you go on to that next slide, please? The third commandment also reminds us of respect for God. Respect. Certainly all these are close together, but four words that describe the commandment, holiness of God, respect for God. Treasuring God as you would a diamond. Many years ago, down in Washington, I went to the Museum of Natural History at the Smithsonian and went in and saw that massive diamond, the Hope Diamond, that was there on display under the glass with the lights and all the facets of it lit up and beautiful, and thinking how unique that was. That's the only one like that in the world. Probably, unless there's more underneath the earth than that might be, the only one known of anywhere in the world. How valuable, how precious, how cherished that is. And I think that's how God is. He's the only one like that. He should be so high in our hearts and our minds and treasured and respected and being careful about His name and about honoring Him. And the fourth word that I mentioned before is the highness of God. The highness of God. He is so much higher than we are. To bring Him down and talk about Him or treat Him as if He's just one of us. Here at church even, you know, He's not just our buddy. Our Father, which art in heaven. What did Jesus say when He taught His disciples to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Hallowed be Thy name. What more does Jesus need to say to us about the name of God? What more do we need to hear to understand how precious that name is and to treat it carefully, to use it faithfully? The second half of the commandment says, For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who misuses his name. It's interesting that in the commandments, there are two that especially give us a warning about God's judgment, and this is one of them. will not hold us guiltless who misuses his name. This is important to God. Why is this so important to God? It's important because of who he is, his individuality, his personality. His name is important. And so he will not hold us guiltless who misuse his name. His name is to be honored. So then why do we have such misuse and abuse of God's name in our world and our culture? We know it's there. We know it's there when we turn on the TV. We know it's there in conversations. Is it intentional? Do people realize what they're doing? I'm not sure, but I want to say five things that cause people to take God's name in vain, and maybe we'll find where we might have a weakness or an area that we need to ask God to help us. Number one is, certainly there is ignorance in people who don't really understand that taking God's name in vain is wrong. And there's people, many people like that I know. Many people who didn't grow up in church, people who have not been taught, they've not had a background, maybe they've never heard this commandment. They've really never understood how important it is to God that we don't misuse his name. That's what the command says, do not misuse. And so some people don't realize that. They've never really heard that. And I see that more and more. I see that so much with young people who maybe haven't gone to church, or they haven't had the scriptures, or they never had somebody to talk to them about the importance of any of the commandments for that matter, but they just don't understand. I don't mean ignorance in a bad way, like it's, you know, being derogatory. I don't mean it by that. I mean they just don't know. They don't understand how high God's name is. They don't have the background to know that. They've not been taught. For them, it may not be so much an intentional disrespect for God, and I often feel that way when I hear people take God's name in vain. And you know, I've been a pastor for a long time, so a lot of people, if they know I'm a pastor and they say something that they know, you know, that I don't like, I'm sorry, he's a pastor, don't say that around him, as if it was me they were taking. It's God they are, but they show a sensitivity anyway to that, some people. And others just don't realize it. They don't realize how important God's name is. I want to emphasize today how important God's name is. That's why this commandment is so valuable to us. How precious his name is. For them, it might not be intentionally disrespectful. And I believe, what should we do about this? As Christians, as believers, as those who want to lift up the name of God in a way that's drawing people to God, not judgmental, not telling people that God's going to get them for what they're doing, but what should we do for people around us? Well, number one, I want to say that we always need to speak the truth in love. And if we feel like we should say to someone, boy, what you're saying, I believe, really violates the heart of God who made you. And this is why, that we always do it in a heart of love. Not sarcastically, not in a way that is hurting or cutting to people, but God's name is very precious. And helping people to understand this maybe is what God wants us to do. And by living an example of what we listen to and what we watch and what we allow to come into our hearts and our minds and our spirits. People notice that. Thank you for jumping there. What you say, what you watch, what you listen to. What about your influence in these areas? Does it help you to love God more? Does it help you to love your fellow man, depending on what you're paying attention to? So I know some of you have told me how hard it is in your work environments because of the hardness that's there. I don't have the answer for that. I know that some of you really deal with that. You deal with language, you deal with attitude, you deal with faithfulness, and it's hard for you in that environment. But so I would just say to you, do everything you can to ask God to speak the truth in love and to live an example before them. You can't change people, but you can point them to a loving God who cares deeply about them. Number two, why is there a misuse of God's name? Number two is because of a lack of faith. It's certainly related to number one. And if you don't know what God says, then you probably don't have any faith in him. But a lot of people just really don't believe God. They do not accept the authority of God. they have not yet and maybe won't and maybe will come to the place of bowing their heart to God. These are people that are very hard, and it's difficult to know what to do with them other than to ignore them sometime. Certainly, getting into a fighting match with them about the third commandment is not what God wants. You know that. I know that. We can't change people. But what does God want us to do? How does God want us to convey the life of faith that we believe and we find in the Scriptures? That again, speaking the truth in love, I would always say about what you do and say and speak into another person's life. A life that invites them to Christ. A life that says Christ can make a difference in your life. A life that says God made you and created you and Jesus came to die for our sins. Sometimes the problem with the tongue certainly won't be cured until the problem of the heart is cured. And so with people that have no faith, remember that them coming to faith in Christ is what's going to make a difference in their lives. And doing all that you can to draw them to Jesus and draw them to the love of God and the authority of God and the truth of God and speak the truth in love and to live out a genuine faith before them. When they see how you live out your life and you deal with your problems and what you believe deep, what your priorities are, and how you handle conflict and how you handle disappointment, all those things speak into people's lack of faith. And God calls us to do what we can to influence others. Another reason that there's so much misuse of God's name is that people get angry and they use God's name. We see that a lot. Somebody gets mad and what comes out? Boom. That's because it's in the heart, as I said, as we thought about earlier. And if you have anger and hostility in your heart, when you get angry, it's going to come out on your tongue. And so sometimes people don't intentionally otherwise take God's name in vain, or they're not as careless, but when they get mad, it's like it's unstopped in them. And then sometimes people take God's name in vain, and I hear this a lot, and I kind of cringe on the inside when people get excited they take God's name in vain. Something happens, and oh my, whatever. Or other things that they say. So I just want to say, if you fall into that category, understand that God wants to help you with self-control. And you realize today that valuing God's name is important. I just want to tell you, God knows that. He knows your heart. And even today, as we're talking about this, if you'd come to the place and say, man, I really am messed up in this area and I need God's help, I just want to say to you, God is waiting to help you with this. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what God wants to do, if you come before Him and you have a problem with the words that you use, is God wants to forgive you. He wants you to know that it's wrong, to know that God doesn't want you to have that kind of language, and that God wants you to turn away from it, to confess. To repent means to turn around from those kind of words and that kind of speech, and then God will cleanse you for that. And so I want to say to you today, if you struggle with any of these four areas, ignorance, lack of faith, anger, or excitement, know that God cares deeply and wants to help you to change that in your heart and your life. That's something you can do with the power and the grace of God. God can help you to deal with that if that's an area that you struggle. The fifth misuse that I'm thinking of is this, not taking His name holy. Now this one, you know, there's a lot of you that are here today. I've never heard you take God's name in vain that I know of. I've not heard you say things anyway in that way. But the challenge is, I think, for us, for those that are Christians and already know that we want to be careful about the name of the Lord and how we use it, is that we make sure that we keep His name very holy in our hearts and our vocabulary and our worship and what we do when we come together and we talk about God, that we keep Him high and lifted up to make His name holy, to treat His name not as casual, just, you know, we're going to worship God, but when we are worshiping God, which should be all the time, our hearts should say, oh, we worship God. Whatever you say, but that our hearts lift Him up to the highest place, that we don't treat Him as casual and treat Him in the highest place, the place that His name deserves. Our last scripture this morning, Philippians chapter 2, says this: Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see how important the name of Jesus is here? All through the Bible, the name of God is many scriptures that we could give. It says how important the name of God is, how high the name of God is, how much we need to be careful that we honor the name of God. And this tells us how highly Jesus should be honored in our hearts and our spirits and our lives. What you say, what you do. Now, Nate, go on to that next one. What you say, what you do, what you watch. This would be a practical thing for you. What does that say about your honor of the name of Jesus? We know how tough it is to watch TV without God's name taken in vain, and the immorality and the sensuality and the violence. And we all make decisions about, does this help me to honor God? Does it help me to love God more? Does it desensitize me to the heart of God and the holiness of God and the highness of God? God is worthy of our praise in so many ways. God is worthy of our very best. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold guiltless those that misuse his name. Would you stand, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we've talked about a very practical commandment today, and one that, God, I must think that your heart is broken by, and I don't know exactly what you feel and think and are preparing for in the area of this commandment and your judgment, God. I pray that we as God's people honor you so highly with our worship and our where we hold you in our hearts. I pray, God, that we would celebrate the highness of God, the wonder of God, and we would be examples of people who cherish your name. As we sang earlier today, we would hold your name up and honor you. I pray, God, that you would help our lives to be holy before you. Help us, God, if we struggle with our words and our tongue, whether it be misusing the name of God or saying things that we should not say and spreading rumors, or, God, hurting people with our words and our tongue. God, help us to ask you to take that away and to cleanse us and make us holy people, I pray. Help us to know how to live this out in a world that often misuses your name. Help us to have a heart that draws people to you, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.